2 years ago, friends of Rosalind Garfield gathered at the Lobster Pot in Provincetown to pay tribute to her. P-Town artist Jay Critchley emceed the event, welcoming shopkeepers, business people, public servants, and other artists as they took to the microphone to praise Garfield.
On behalf of the Provincetown Community Compact, I'd like to present Roz with a sand-encrusted gavel.
There's a reason the gavel was sand-encrusted. When Garfield was in her mid-50s and working as a real estate agent, she decided to return to school, graduating from the New England School of Law in 1977. One of her first cases was representing Critchley and his sand-covered station wagon. Critchley had parked the car in a town lot and refused to move it, calling the sandblasted vehicle a piece of public art.
I represented Jay once when he had a sand-filled car on the parking lot, and the town told him he had to have it moved. And Jay asked me to come in and meet with the selectmen and represent him, and we won.
She can be described in many ways, but Garfield was a small-town attorney in one of the smallest of towns. To her credit, she was more interested in helping struggling artists and entangled whales than she was in taking big payday cases from Boston-based developers. Garfield spent many of her 91 years serving on government and civic boards. It was a political career that began on the planning board in the 1960s, the first woman to be appointed to a decision-making committee in the town's history. Years later, in the 1980s, she became known as Madam Speaker, elected from the floor of town meeting as its moderator.
She approached it diligently and with a strong hand.
That's former Provincetown selectwoman Betty Steele Jeffers.
I always think the funniest story is that when one of the later years when I was a selectman and chairman of the board of selectmen was on the opposite side of her own personal feelings on a particular issue, and we, the selectmen, were practically jumping up and down to get recognized, and she would not recognize us. We were standing literally on our tiptoes with our hands waving in the air, and she just looked straight out over the audience, and she called on whomever she wished to call on. And I don't think we ever did get to state our case on that particular article.
Jeffers says she can't remember exactly what question town meeting was considering that day, though she does remember feeling pretty frustrated about it. But the story speaks to Garfield's dedication and the enormous effort she put into everything she did.
She was very, very interested in a lot of causes that are near and dear to the heart of Provincetown people. She was very active in the AIDS Support Group and the Fine Arts Work Center, Center for Coastal Studies. I mean, she was an all-round good Provincetown resident.
Friends describe Garfield as private and compassionate. They use words such as community member, teacher, and friend. A pioneer, savvy and silly, with strong opinions and a fierce competitiveness. Rosalind Garfield, they say, was sincere and she made time for everyone. Longtime resident Irene Rabinowitz says Garfield was involved in many aspects of the community, supporting organizations financially, as well as with her time and expertise. For example, Rabinowitz says that in her position with the nonprofit group Helping Our Women, Rabinowitz always could call upon Garfield when someone was in trouble.
Folks like that, you can't measure their worth. You can't put a value on it, that I could call her and say, I'm here at work and I've got this person and she's very sick and she's going to need to have to do a healthcare proxy and a living will and a will. And Rosalind was always available to do that. She always understood that there are poor people and they may be sick and they may need assistance. And what can she do to fill those gaps?
People remember Garfield's public service and professionalism. They talk about the financial and legal support she gave local nonprofits and civic organizations. And they also talk about her love story with her partner, Phyllis, who died a few years ago. Their relationship was one of the longest in P-Town. They were out there lesbians when such things were not so common, even in progressive Provincetown. Masseuse and peace activist Tracy Primavera says she didn't come to know Garfield in the political arena, but even before meeting her, she knew Garfield and Phyllis had a very special, even inspiring relationship.
I had dinner at Friends, and I sat across from these two women that I've heard so much about, but this was the first time we were having dinner. And I looked at them and I saw two women, who adored each other, who still adored each other. I don't know what went on in their life. I don't know their intimate moments, their fights, their arguments, but in that moment, just this essence of adoration for each other, the way they spoke to each other, I felt like they were talking about so many interests. They ate up life together, and I felt like they really encouraged each other to be all that they can be.
Artist Steve Katz says he first met Garfield in 1980. He says she was a principled, honest, and forthright person who made sure all of the townsfolk were well represented in their government. She had a kind word for everyone, he says, and when she died, Provincetown had many kind words for Rosalind Garfield.
It was a loss, a big loss to the town. I think every single person in town knew her as a moderator, as an attorney, but most of all as a friend.
Garfield came to Provincetown in the 1950s after falling in love with the place during a brief visit. It became her home, and through her legal work and activism, she protected it, its artists, its scientists, and its shopkeepers. At the tribute at the Lobster Pot 2 years ago, Garfield said the reason she gave so much to Provincetown was because Provincetown gave so much to her. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.